I said a moment ago, just concerning the worship, that it just dovetailed into where we're going to be going today. Next week, by the way, I'm going to be gone. We're going to be doing a wedding up in L.A. With some folks in the church, so we'll be out. But we've got our very own Brittany Alanis going to be here with us right there. She's going to be preaching. Come on, come on. Encourage Brittany before she preaches next week. There she is. Thank God she looks like her mama, doesn't look like her dad. Praise the Lord. She's going to be preaching next week. But I'm sure we'll be coming back to this thought today, the following week when I'm back. And here's where we're going to go today, is just this thought, overcoming fear. Overcoming fear. We're in a time in our country, in our nation, that fear is everywhere. I don't know, something happened during COVID, just something, Pandora's box got unlocked. And it just seemed like fear on every side started going, whether it was health fears or interracial fears or government fears. And are they really telling us the truth? Which, you figure that out. But you have a lot to be afraid of, potentially. Fear is something we've all faced. Fear is something that I've faced. Either you have faced it or you're in the middle of it right now. Fear, the potential to fear never goes away. It never goes away. You will always have an opportunity to fear. There's an acronym, maybe some of y'all heard of FEAR, false evidence appearing real, right? Fear, someone said, is false evidence appearing real, which I kind of like that a little bit, but it's not always true. There is just some things that they are real. Come on, everybody, they are real. And you're dealing with it, and it's not a falsity, it is a reality that now is confronting you in your faith or in your family, in your body, in your mind, whatever it is. It is not falsity, it is evidence. It is actually there, and you got to do something with it. If you'll do a ChatGPT or go Google search or wherever your search engine is and just ask some questions about what are some remedies for fear? I did that. I thought this was kind of interesting as we begin today. Here's what they say online. You just need to learn some relaxation techniques that can help with mental and emotional and physical feelings of fear. Somebody else said, what you need to do is just drop your shoulders, breathe deeply, and imagine yourself in a relaxing place. Somebody else said, you just need to try massage, maybe tai chi, I think. Not chai tea is a drink. Maybe you need to do that too. Jesus, Lord. Maybe you need a chai tea as you tai chi. You need to do some yoga, just some meditation. You need to go to the beach and you just need to kind of chant and just kind of, listen to me. That's not what we're talking about. Biblically, scripturally, we've got another remedy. We've got an out concerning fear that tries to come into our lives. Let me give you, as we start today, a scripture that you've known it. You've probably said it before. You've read it if you've been in church since you were a kid. It's Psalm 23, verse 4. It says this, yea, come on, let's read it out loud. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, come on, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Notice your rod and your staff, they're used as protection. This is talking about God saying as the good shepherd, he's going to take care of you. He's going to protect you. It represents God's authority. And he says, again, notice the connection between the rod and the staff, God's authority, God's protection. When do you need it? When you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. So he says, even in the valley of the shadow of death, believer, there will be times that you're in death's shadow. There will be time where fear will try to grip your heart, where you don't know exactly how to get out of what you got yourself into. Whether somebody else put it in or it's right in front of your face right now, you got a negative report from the doctor, you got the pink slip from the boss, whatever the case may be that you find yourself in a potentially fearful situation, the scripture tells you and me right here, memorize the scripture, never let it go from your heart, never let it go from your mind. It says, I will fear no evil. Come on, say that with me. I will fear. Why? 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 For you are with me. You're with me. Listen, if you're looking for another answer, there is no other answer. That is the answer. That is the answer. You're with me. You're with me. God's abiding presence is the difference when you're in the shadow. God's abiding presence. You're with me. You're here. You never leave me. You never forsake me. You're my constant help. You're always by my side. Holy Spirit, you're within me. God lives within me. You can't get any closer to me. In fact, Jesus, you're closer to me than you were to the disciples. You were with them in a body, but you're in me, in my spirit. I wrote this down this past week, that fear isn't something to manage, but a spiritual force to overcome. We don't manage it. We don't play around with it. I'm real strong. Kimberly and I were, even with kids, when our four kids. We didn't let our kids. We didn't watch creepy shows and shows that just made them feel uneasy. Even if we thought that they were okay, we would never do that in front of them, because something happens when a kid starts getting afraid. And it will start showing up in different areas of their life. There's a phrase called FUD. Maybe you've heard it. People use it for investing. People use it for all kinds of things. FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And there'll be times in your life that fear tries to grab hold of you, uncertainty and doubt in God's word and his will and his precepts, that you are going to have to do something spiritually to overcome that. Not get a massage, not go get a chai tea latte or do chai tea or tea chai or whatever we're talking about. I don't even know what that is. I can't even say it. Tai Chi. Okay. All right. My wife's, you know, it's a good message when my wife is yelling at me in the front row. Man, a lot. But here's what I do know. Fear always brings a bunch of pack of bad friends. Fear brings bad friends. Let me give you some bad friends that your fear will attract. Fear brings worry. Fear brings anxiety. Fear brings depression. Fear brings apprehension. Should I? Shouldn't I? It breeds and brings panic. It brings nervousness, uneasiness, fright, or grief. And all of those things are going to lead you and I to a troubled mind, thinking continually of failure and all of that, the what if this happens scenario. And it takes us down a road of fear. And God wants us to overcome every fear. Let's go back to a scripture we looked at last week when we were talking about the nation of Israel coming out of the wilderness. Let's read a bunch of scriptures. Exodus 14, verse 9 through 12. This is when the nation of Israel, after the death of the firstborn with the Egyptians, and the nation of Israel is coming out into the wilderness, they're going to inherit the land God has for them. And how many know we're going to get ready to read there, but Pharaoh was coming. It tells us in verse 9, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside that place and before that place. And when... You say it, okay? You say it. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after him. How many know it's one thing when you think you're done with your problem and your problem's chasing you again? And it says they came after them. And look at this. They were very afraid. Very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. That's a good thing to do. And then they said to Moses, crying out to the Lord's a good thing, but then maybe you need to stop right there. They cried out to the Lord, but then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you took us out to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word? Didn't we tell you what they're saying? When we were in Egypt, we said, leave us alone. Just come on, man. Just leave us alone. It was better that we serve the Egyptians. How many know you're talking crazy talk right now? You've been in bondage for 430 years. All your whole family, your whole nation, all your people, y'all been slaves. And God's brought you out with 10 plagues, 10 mighty signs and wonders, and you're coming, and now they're coming after you, and you are not remembering what you just came out of. And you're talking crazy. Is this not the word that, verse 12, that we told you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. I really don't get this, to be honest with me. I'm honest with you. I don't get this passage too much, because I'm just kind of thinking, if you're going to die, who cares if you're in Egypt or in the wilderness? Come on, everybody. If it's your time to die, let's go. I don't care if you're in San Ysidro or La Jolla. Come on, everybody, right? It'd been better for us to have been back there. No, it wasn't. You lost your mind. You got short-term memory loss. It wasn't good. You were in bondage. Come on, you were restricted. You couldn't do what God called you to do in the place God called you to be. But they didn't remember all that. Listen to me. Fear will mess up your memory. You quit thinking about God. You quit thinking about the times God delivered you and helped you. Check it out. And again, what's the scenario of all this? This is after Passover. This is after the male unblemished lamb. Eat it all. Come on, eat it all. Take the blood, put it over the doorposts of your house. The death angel is gonna be gone from the mouth of God, and he's gonna kill everybody that where he doesn't see blood. And your firstborn didn't die, but all those in the nation of Egypt, they died. They saw it. They saw it. They saw it. They saw frogs there and not here. They saw and heard darkness there, not darkness here. They saw fiery hail there, not here. They saw lice coming all over the land, not here. They saw locusts coming and take all their crops, but not up in here. And yet in the middle of this, when they saw all of that, they made a decision to fear. God, you can't do anything now, because here they're coming again. And listen to me. It's something when you see God work and then something comes up and doesn't end around on you. You're going to have to learn to stand against all kinds of fear when time isn't on your side. Right? So what's Moses say? Come on, look what he says in chapter 14, verse 13. Come on, read it out loud. What's Moses say to the people? Come on, what's he say? How many know, like, when has that word ever worked? Like, have you ever told your kid, like, they're screaming in the middle of the night, and you say, don't be afraid? Did that ever work? Never, it never works. That never works. Just that, don't be afraid. But that is the beginning of something else that God is going to tell Moses here. Pick it up. He says, don't be afraid. What does he say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians which you see today, you will see again no more forever. And listen, this is going to be the end of it right now. This is going to be the end of it. The Lord will fight for you, so hold your peace. In other words, be quiet. In other words, quit talking yourself into fear. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. The Lord's going to work for you. Listen to me. Moses gives the people the word of the Lord. Not just don't be afraid, but he gives them the word of the Lord, which was stand still, and you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. I'm convinced of this, that God's word brings God's peace, and God's peace will calm all fears. God's word. Don't be afraid. Okay, don't be afraid. Now, don't be afraid. But he gives me a word. You stand still right here. You stand still. And God's salvation, his deliverance, his safety, his protection, his intervention, his deliverance is going to come for you. Those guys that you see, you're not seeing them anymore. This was a word that they never heard before. God never spoke this to them before. This is the finality of Pharaoh and Egypt being rid from their life. And listen to me. I just prophesied to some of y'all in the room that the fear that you've been dealing today is the finality of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm not going to be afraid that I'm going to die early. I'm not going to be afraid that my marriage dissolves. I'm not going to be afraid that I can't advance and do the will of God concerning economically in my life. Listen to me. Today is a day in Jesus' name the fear dies. Can anybody in the room say amen to that? Amen, amen to that. But check this out in verse 15 and 16. So Moses tells the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, again, look what he's going to accomplish among you. The Egyptians which you see today, you're not going to see again anymore. The Lord's going to fight for you. Hold your peace. But check out verse 15. And then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now, we don't have any dialogue of Moses actually going, God, do you see, hear these people? They're a bunch of losers. And God, we don't have that going on. We don't know. Maybe that's what was happening. But God actually tells them, why are you crying to me, Moses? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Moses told the people to stand still. Look at this. God tells the people, go forward. Which is it? Listen to me. It's both. You and I need to stand still to see God's perspective, and we need to move forward to claim God's victory. You need to stand still long enough to say, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? I'm not seeing it. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not seeing the light. I'm not seeing the hope. I'm not seeing the direction. I need to stand still long enough to gain your perspective, to hear your voice so that you're calm in my fear. I need a word. And then I can't stay here. I need to move forward. Faith will always move you out of wherever you're at. I need to move forward. I need to have activity correspond with the word that God's given me. Samuel Johnson was an 18th century writer. This is going to be a little lengthy, but just lean in. He said this, there's never a place we can go where his presence won't be there first. He's in our yesterday, he's in our today, he's in our tomorrow all at the same time. He rejoices over us, rewards us, blesses us, smothers us with his forgiveness and grace every day throughout every day. In addition to the good, there's no tragedy we'll face, no hardship we'll endure, no adversity we'll encounter where God is not with us, steadily holding us up with his mighty, righteous, and perfect right hand. When you feel lonely and wonder that where God is, know that he is about you, above you, around you, after you, among you, before you, behind you, beneath you, beside you, beyond you, by you, for you, inside you, near you, and over you. He is everywhere all the time, always and forever. He is near to us. When you experience fear and wonder why God won't remove it from you, know that he hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of his presence. Always and forever, he is near to us. When you go through devastating situations, he's with you. When your life seems to be spinning out of control, he is with you. When you can't see the path or even the next step, he is with you. Come on, somebody say amen to that. I believe that. I don't need to be afraid. He's with me. He's with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Not going to be afraid. Not going to be afraid, David says, of thousands of the army hosts that come against me. I'll be confident. My heart's fixed, trusting in the Lord. Let's look at two stories for the remainder of our time, maybe a couple more, but two for sure, of Jesus in the New Testament in the book of Matthew and Mark. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. This is a familiar passage for a lot of you that have read the Bible, but it says in Mark 4:35, on the same day when evening had come, Jesus says to the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now when he had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm, come on, say a great windstorm, arose, and the waves beat into the boat that it was already filling. Now most writers, if you do a little search on this, that they believe this wasn't a regular storm, that this was actually a demonically inspired storm. What's interesting, after Jesus lands on the seashore in Mark chapter 5, who meets him? The demoniac of Gadara. They believe that this was a demonically inspired storm to kill Jesus and kill the disciples all in one swift kick. But how many of you know we've got a God who can always outlast and outmaneuver the devil? Come on, everybody. Come on, that'd be a good place to clap. Yeah. A great windstorm arose, the waves beat into the boat that it was already filling, verse 38. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. This is just amazing. And they awoke him and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid, so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" He didn't even say little faith here. He just simply said, come on, everybody, no faith. When you read this story, where do you put yourself? Do you put yourself with Jesus asleep in the stern of the boat? Or do you put yourself as panicking in the middle of the storm? Let me ask you this. What were you doing when the last fearful situation happened to you? Were you at rest and at peace that God's in control and God's at work, even though my boat, my life seems like it's about ready to tip over, even though I got an awful and negative report? Or do I find myself asleep in the stern of the boat and at rest? I believe this is that we fear, we really do this, we fear when we lose sight of who he is and where he is. We lose sight. Like I can't see you. I don't know where you are. The storm's everywhere. The clouds are everywhere. The waves are everywhere. The wind's everywhere. All I'm doing is hearing, feeling all these things into my emotions, and I can't see you. And just think with me, the Savior of the world, the miracle worker, is just a few feet up in the stern of the boat. These boats were some 18 to 22, maybe 25 feet long. They're not that long that they believe that Jesus was in with and his disciples. He's not very far away from them, and he's asleep, and yet they're full of fear. What was the, again, with this, we see this same pattern. What was the word of the Lord to the disciples? Do you remember? Do you remember? Let us go over to the other side. This is the command of the Lord. Matthew's account says the Lord commanded them, let us go to the other side. Guys, we are going over there. He didn't make a difference what's between here and there. We are going over there. You do not have to fear. Whatever comes up, we are going to make it. We are going from this place to that place. Let us go over to the other side. Here's what we see is that the word of God reveals the will of God consistently. The word of God reveals the will of God. Whatever word that God's spoken is going to reveal his word to you, what he wants you to do. We're going to the other side. That is the will of God. That was the word of God. And if you're in God's will, listen, if you're in God's will, you have God's power to get you from where you're at to where God wants you. Can somebody say amen? And then he just says this, that's just, you know, he just hits him in the middle of the head. He really doesn't care. I mean, sometimes I think we all need that. He says, where's your faith? How is it you guys have no faith? You have no faith. You know who I am. You know what I've done. You've been around me for long enough, and you think that I'm actually going to let you die? You think that my presence is, do you think that I'm going to save me and not you? He's talking about no faith. He's talking about having an active faith, a responsive faith that regardless of circumstances and what you see and what you feel and what you're around, that you're above that and you're moved from a place of rest and wholeness, spirit, soul, and body, where you can see the goodness of the Lord. Jesus then does something that I'm sure shocked them. He speaks to the storm, doesn't he? Right? He speaks to the storm. So Jesus is demonstrating what an active faith will do. It speaks to fear. It speaks to the storm. And Jesus actually called their faith, and I think it was in Matthew, short-bursted is the actual Greek word, or it's underdeveloped. It's not where it needs to be. And God forbid, all of us are in different levels of faith. But listen to me. I want to encourage you, if you're going to be victorious as a believer in Jesus Christ, your faith in God, your faith in the Word of God has got to go from glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength. You got to have ever-increasing faith. Come on, because the battles are ever increasing. Amen, everybody? So thank God for where you're at, and thank God for what God's brought you through right now. But I'm just telling you, the faith you have today isn't going to be good enough in 5 years. You're going to need to keep developing your faith, because there's going to be other battles. There's going to be other giants that come. Who would have thought, you know, back in 2019 that in 2020 we were all going to face COVID and the world was going to shut down? I mean, a lot of people just lost their mind, lost their faith, lost their trust in God. Listen to me, but you didn't. So come on, look around your neighbor and say, praise God, you didn't. Come on, everybody. Come on. Come on. Listen, your faith is designed for demonstration. One more time. Your faith is designed for demonstration. Demonstration. Cooperation with God. The disciples, they ignored the presence of God by acting in fear. They ignored the presence of God. I want to encourage you. He's with you. He's among you. He's within you. He's around you. He's above you. He's beside you. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. Don't ignore the presence of Jesus. If you do, the presence of the storm will overwhelm you. Listen to me. The presence of the storm has got the power to wreck your boat, wreck your life, derail your marriage, separate you from godly friends and influence. You and I need to do something different in the storms that come to all of us. I was thinking about this, is that just concerning all of our lives, just right thinking concerning the storm. So just work with me for just a second, just two thoughts here. Just right thinking in the storm. So if I'm in the middle of a storm and I'm in the boat with Jesus and he's right up there and he's asleep and the storm's crazy. I've never been in a storm like this before. It's crazy. I'm hanging on the side. At least four or five of these brothers are fishermen. They've been in some storms, but nothing like this before. And they're thinking they're going to die, right? We're going to perish. That's what they said. But if Jesus is in the boat, I want to get my thinking right. So just work with me. A couple thoughts. Here it is. Since Jesus is still asleep, this is you and me in the boat. What would he do if he were awake? I'm in my storm. Yeah, Jesus is with me. What would he do if he were awake? Whatever he would do, do it. Well, we find out what he would do. He stood up and he spoke to the storm. Come on, everybody. So the first thing you need to do in the middle of fear, in the middle of the storm of fear grabbing you, is you need to speak to it. Come on, you need to talk to it. You need to talk to that fear over your money, over your marriage, over your kids, over your job, over your body, whatever that. You need to speak to it. Come on. Am I talking to the right church? Yeah. Come on, we speak the word of God. We confess the word of God. So, God, are you, Jesus, are you waiting on me to act? To use my faith in the middle of the storm? WWJD. What would Jesus do? Right? So I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be just like you. But on the flip side of that coin, here's the other side. If Jesus is still asleep in my storm, listen to me, and it's not changing, I must be okay. I didn't get this as a young pastor. I probably didn't get it until a few years ago. Because by faith, and every mountain and every stronghold will come down. And you go, it ain't coming down, and I'm a little bit afraid. You know what I've realized? Apostle Paul says, as he besought the Lord three times concerning this thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, I asked the Lord to take this thing away from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. there are some storms that God gives you extra grace to navigate them. If he ain't moving it away, he must be empowering me to go through this thing. Come on, everybody. But we are going to the other side. Come on. We are going to the other side. Yeah, we are. Come on. You've been sitting for a while. Come on, stand up. Let me talk to you about this last thought. Come on. What we're going to do in just the next couple seconds is the band just helps us with this song. I'm going to ask, if you're battling some fear, I'm going to ask you that you just come up and make this altar here, and you're saying, I'm casting my fear up there. I'm not walking out of here carrying any fear. Hallelujah. Faith is rising in my heart. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not going to be afraid about tomorrow. I'm not going to be afraid about the doctor report. I'm not going to be afraid about what's going on in the world. A little nervous to go out. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. We're going to do that in just a minute. I'm going to ask you to come up. Let this be an altar up here where you just cast that down and you're leaving from this place totally set free from that in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody. Another similar story as what we just read in Mark 4 is in the book of Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus is up on a mountain and he sends the boys out in the boat ahead of them. And he's up on top of the mountain praying. He looks down and he sees a storm going, and they're trouble rowing. And they've been going, most believe, for a couple hours at least, and they're not getting further ahead. So Jesus comes walking out on the water. Remember that story? And what do disciples do? The Bible says they were full of fear. They thought he was a ghost. How many know these guys are a little bit messed up? They thought he was a ghost. And so what does Jesus do? He gives them a word. Don't miss it. He gives them a word. The psalmist, Psalm 23, gave us a word. Jesus gave us a word. Moses gave the people a word. God gave Moses a word. And Jesus speaks to them in Matthew 14, 27. And he says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take courage, he says. I am he. Different translations. Old King James just says, I am. Anybody remember somewhere in the Bible where you hear the words, I am? Come on, I am. Remember what God told Moses, I am. What God told Moses, I am that I am. Come on, I am. That's his name. I am. I am here. I am able to change this whole situation. You don't need to be afraid. I am in your midst. Come on, everybody. I am with you. Come on, I am for you. I'm behind you. I'm in front of you. I put my hand of blessing on your head. I'm above you. Come on, everybody. I'm beneath you. Come on, God's holding me up on this water, Jesus is saying. Listen, so get the image of Jesus right now. Walking to you on top of your storm. Walking to you. And when Jesus gets in the boat, it's just amazing. When Jesus gets in the boat, he's there with Peter. You know the story, Peter starts sinking. Jesus raised Peter up. And they come back into the boat. They come back into the boat. And the wind stops. And the Bible says in verse 33, it says, those that were in the boat, they came and they worshiped him. And they said, truly, you're the Son of God. Listen to me. This is the first time recorded in the Bible where the disciples actually worshiped Jesus. They worshiped him when they saw what he did to remove their fear. Something deep within them. And then a confession rose out from them. Truly, you are the Son of God. Jesus calmed the wind. The wind means the noise. The noise. Listen to me. I speak a calmness and a peace to all the noise of fear in your life in Jesus' name. You're going to hear the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. The scripture says the mighty one is in our midst. The Lord is singing songs of deliverance over us. That's what we're going to hear. We're not going to hear the noise of the world. We're going to hear the song of the Lord. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we do? What do we need to do? after we leave here, when maybe it tries to come do an end around on us this next week? What do we do? Listen, we get into God's presence. We come into God's presence with assurance and confidence that He's for us. He's for us. He's with me. I'm in the Word. I see what you've said. I've seen what you've done. And I'm going to meditate on your promises. I'm going to meditate in your Word. I'm not leaving here till I get an assurance. I get a word from the Lord. Listen to me. If you go into God's presence asking, you're going to come out receiving. Come on, everybody. Amen, everybody. Come on. Come on, everybody. Father, in Jesus' name, we just speak peace as we have to every storm. Every storm. Come on, if you're here today and this is you and something's burning your heart, come on, leave your heart right. Leave your chair right now. Come up here and let an altar. Let an altar where say, I just need God. I'm oppressing with God. I got some fear in my heart right now in my life. I've got some uncertainty. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm going to cast.